you for sharing with us this morning.
Well, thank you for asking me and for this wonderful time that we could be together. It is a joy, really a joy, to see all your faces. And I think that's what's the coolest part about Zoom, is that you can actually see someone's face and feel like, you know, maybe you can't actually hug them, but but it's so wonderful to see all of you. And so I've been excited for a few weeks now here, even before Christmas, about the subject of the temple. And this is an illustration of the mystery of, and what I want to focus on today is how we are connected in a community as the temple of God. And it's something normally that we use the body or the family as the main illustration of the mystery, how we're connected together. But the temple, the picture of the temple shows some really interesting and wonderful aspects of how we are connected and what we can do together in this community together. So I think it'll be a lot of fun to look at some of these verses today. So you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. In 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians were, they didn't know anything about Solomon's temple, but they were very familiar with temples in general, because there were at least 3 or 4 really large, gaudy, huge temples in Corinth where people came to worship. They believed that the god Apollo actually lived in that temple. So this illustration to the Corinthians was not unfamiliar at all. So, but in verse 16 it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? And so this is a question for us today. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that you there is plural? And sometimes you can't see that in the English, but we together, the plural we, our community, is a temple. And the thing that connects us together is that we have this common union. We each have the fullness of the Spirit of Christ in us. And that's what is the connection. When you say community, you can turn it around and say common union. Like, what is the common union that we have? And we all have the fullness of Christ. And so we're going to see a little bit more about this too. But then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And there's some other verses in Corinthians too, but I just wanted to read this one, verse 16. And what alliance has the temple of God with demons? But you, there's plural again, you are the temple of the living God. What kind of God? He's not a dead God. He's not a big statue in the middle of some pillared temple in Corinth. He is a living God, as it said, I will live with them, and I will walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's a quotation from Leviticus, where it's Leviticus 26, verse 11 and 12, if you want to write it down. But the Spirit is in us, it's abiding in us, and that verse said, I will live with them and I will walk with them. So in the Old Testament, God walked with his people and he called them his people. But they did not have the Spirit in them. Now we have the Spirit that's in us. So God walks, because of that connection, we can walk in him and he abides in us, we abide in him. So we're constantly connected to him. There isn't a time where we're not connected. Even if we don't feel like it at some point, you know, we are constantly connected to Christ and to God by way of the Spirit. So now, just thinking about the word temple and what the word temple means. In Hebrew, it was referred to as like a dwelling place of a great king. It could be a palace or the king's dwelling quarters. And if you think about the greatest king, you know, was probably David and Solomon. They have this huge palace that they built, as well as the temple. And in the palace, there were all kinds of rooms. There was all kinds of things going on in the palace. But it was the dwelling place. And in the Old Testament, the temple is called the house of the Lord. And it's also called a sanctuary. So those two things are the picture also. We're to be reminded of Solomon's temple and how beautiful it was and how gorgeous it was and how people came to it to do all kinds of things, which we're going to see. But I found this a fabulous verse in Psalm. It's Psalms 29:9. It's the last part of verse 9 there. And it's kind of a description of what the temple is supposed to be. And it literally said, and in his temple, so in God's temple, all of it says, glory! Like the whole thing is supposed to be about giving glory to God, that it represents his glory, that it shows him as the living God. It shows him as the one that people can come to and worship. So I just love that verse, and I've been thinking about it a lot. And like, when you see and you think about the church and the community that we all are a part of and are connected with, it's to say glory to God. So now let's look at Ephesians, which I'm glad that Trish read some of the verses from chapter 4 too. Because that's usually where we go to when we want to talk about community. But in chapter 2, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I encourage you to go back to the beginning of the chapter and read about how God broke down all the barriers that were between Jew and Gentile and made of those two groups one new man, so making peace. But he made peace not only between the Jews and the Gentiles, but he broke down the barriers that were between the people and the Levites, and then the Levites and the priests, and the priests and the high priests. And there were all these levels of who had access to God at any one time. And also it broke down, like, there were no women who were allowed past the court of the women. You know, would be going like, hey, I want to go in the Holy of Holies too. But they weren't allowed. So all those barriers were broken down. So verse 19 goes, but from now on, you are neither strangers nor foreigners, but citizens who are holy ones and are of the household of God. So there's your household picture and how we're citizens together. But then verse 20, it switches and it says, and you are built on the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the head of the corner of the building. I'm reading from the Aramaic translation. So in this particular verse, he's called the cornerstone of the building, but other verses talk about how he's the foundation. He's the complete foundation. And that's the picture of Jesus Christ, is that not, he's not just the cornerstone, like a cornerstone which set the parameters of the building. But he's actually the whole foundation on which the temple is built. And it's you could do a whole teaching just about the cornerstone and what that means, but what I wanted us to see today is that because he is the foundation and we are connected to the foundation, he set the parameters for everything that we have spiritually. So we have his peace, we have his love, we have his wisdom, he's made unto us righteousness. I mean, you just could think of 100 verses that talk about what we have in Christ. That's the foundation. That's what we are built on together, is everything that he is. And the main thing is that the fullness of the Spirit that was on Jesus Christ and was given to him is what God gave to us. That's the greatest part of the mystery, is that the fullness of the Spirit was given to us. So it's not given by measure. Like, you get a little bit and I get a little bit and maybe I'll get more than you. No. Since we're directly connected to the foundation, like a building is, then we have everything that Christ is as the foundation. So go on and read verse 21 there, and 22. It says, in him, so in Christ, the whole building is fit together and is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, while you also are built in him for a dwelling of God spiritually, or in the Spirit. So the whole building is fit together. It's more like a building complex. Somehow we get the idea when you look at the picture of a temple or a building, is like all the stones are uniform, and I mean, that's how we build our buildings, is we want to make it all identical or whatever. And that's not the picture. It's like this gigantic building complex, which is always growing. It's always being added to. Like, here's another part of the building that needs to get built over here. And this is this part of the building. And they are all connected together, but they're all unique too. Just like the picture of the body, where every part works together. And no part is more important than any other part. That's the same picture of the temple. But when you think of it as a building complex, then you can see how, oh, Christ is the head of the corner. So he's the one who, like, has set the parameters for it. Now it says that in him, you're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And for a long time, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know, why is it picking out only apostles and prophets here? Because, you know, what happened to the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists? You know, aren't they important too? And what I've realized is that the reason why it's added here, that here you have Christ as the foundation, and then you have the apostles and the prophets build on it. What that means is the apostles are the architects. They're the ones who go, oh, over here we need to add this. And this is what, how it's going to fit over here. And draw up all the plans and give the direction about it. And then the prophets, are their specific ministry is to tell people how to build it and where to go and who's involved, and encourage the actual fulfillment of the building plans. So those two ministries are really vital when it comes to building the temple and how it's fit together. And that doesn't mean that we don't need teachers, because the teachers explain what the building's all about, and the pastors help people, you know, live in the building and teach them how to do things, and the evangelists bring people to the building, and, you know, so everyone is needed. But the key thing about the apostles and prophets is that they understand how to build on the foundation, and that's what they teach, and that's how they help people to be fit together and also to grow, because this is not a static building. It keeps growing, keeps being added to it, it keeps having more and more people come into it. And so there's room in this gigantic, beautiful building complex that we have never seen before, ever. There's room for everyone to have a place. And the other cool thing is, in Solomon's temple, they used these huge stones to build a lot of the part of the temple. But in the temple of God, even in Solomon's temple, see, there was scarlet, and there were beautiful precious stones, and things were overlaid with gold, and it had really precious wood, and there were all kinds of beautiful decorations that were in the temple that showed God's glory, that showed his beauty, and that when people came in, they were like, oh, wow, this is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And that's what God wants when people come into the community of the Church of God, is that you go, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. But see, we're not just like a big, you know, plain old stone. We could be quartz. We can be gold. We can have it overlaid. There's just an unending combination of how beautiful this building can be. And I just, when I think about that, it's amazing. So read that part about it's growing again here. Verse 21, in him the whole building is fit together. That's the same word that's used in Ephesians 4 about how the body is fitly framed together. And is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. It's growing, it's continually being added to, but it's also designed to be a holy dwelling place for God. And not only would people be looking at it saying, oh, how beautiful that is, but they would acknowledge that this is where God dwells. So I want to look now at a passage in 1 Peter, because this kind of ties it all together about the picture of the temple. And 1 Peter 2, and starting in verse 4, the one to whom you are drawn is the living stone that men have rejected, yet with God is chosen and honored. It's talking about how Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. He was rejected by Israel and not received at the time. But ever since then, and from the day of Pentecost, he's become the foundation stone. So he is now honored and precious. But it calls him a living stone. So he's a living man who's a stone. And it's kind of a mixed illustration. Like, you go, how can a stone be living? I mean, really? Come on. It's not a logical thing in our mind, but to an Eastern mind, that is not an unusual thought, because even the word for stone and the word for sun, they are only one letter apart. The word for sun is ben, b-e-n, and the word for stone is eben, e-b-e-n, so it just adds an extra letter on the front of it. And so just like sons make up a family, stones make up a building. So it is not illogical that you would call them living stones because they're living men. And the living part is that because we're living men, we are actually acting, moving, living together. This spiritual house of stones, of living stones, becomes the dwelling place of God as we live together, as we move together, as we act together. It's a living thing. And because we're built on the living stone, like I said, we have everything that Christ is, and the stone imparts the life to the community. So no matter what we are doing in the community, it has this foundation of Christ, but then each stone, each person is fit together, living together, working together. We're going to see what we do in just a minute, but we are together. It's supposed to be like, we're connected. We're together. We're together. We're together. Can you get it here now? We're together. And if you forget about it, remember, we're together. You cannot do it by yourself. We cannot be a living stone in the temple of God and not be connected. You might say, okay, I don't want to be in it anymore. And, you know, but it still doesn't mean that you're not connected. It's, do you want to be connected? Do you want to have the temple of God be giving glory to God? Anyway, so go on now and read verse 5 of 1 Peter 2. And you also, as living stones, so we're the living stones too, were built up in our spiritual temples and holy priests to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable before God by way of Jesus Christ. So there's a couple things in here, right? We are built together, and we become a spiritual temple. We become the dwelling place of God where he can be worshiped. So that's one of the very primary things that we do in the temple of God, is we worship him. It's his dwelling place. But in the Old Testament, they had all these barriers where you couldn't go into the real presence of God that was in the Holy of Holies. But now the whole way is made open. And you think about the Holy of Holies was just this little cube box. It was very small where the ark was. But it's been bust wide open to where the Holy of Holies is really the whole temple. It's the place where Christ dwells. It's the place where we dwell. And it's the place where God dwells. So how can we help but not worship him? And have pour out this praise and honor. So God is living not only, we always just said, it's God in Christ in you. Well, it's God in Christ in me, yes. But it's God in Christ in you, plural, 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 plural. Christ in you is a picture of plurality, of community, and of dwelling together where the primary things we do is worship God. But then it talks about how we offer spiritual sacrifices and we become like a holy priesthood. Well, what did the priests do? Well, the priests offered sacrifices every day. And the primary sacrifice that they did every single day, morning and night, was a burnt offering. And, I mean, they had lots of other sacrifices, but the main one was the burnt offering. And it calls Jesus Christ the burnt offering because he gave his whole life. The burnt offering was an animal that was put on the altar, and it was burned completely up. And the priests did not get any part of it, and it was to be an offering to God. And that's how our lives are. Is we are to be a burnt offering, where we offer to God because of everything he's done for us, we offer our whole lives to him, and as an offering, as a sacrifice. And it's not a, you know, I mean, all of you know that's not a hardship sacrifice to offer to God, because it's just an expression of thanksgiving and of praise and of honor, of like, you did so much for me. What can I do for you? How can I live my life to be a sacrifice and a burnt offering for you? And it says that these kind of sacrifices are acceptable before God. So now verse 6 goes on and it says, "For it is told in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion an approved and precious stone." There's the Jesus Christ as a stone. "In the head of the corner, and he who believes on him will not be ashamed." There's a lot of quotations of the verses of in the Old Testament about how Christ was going to be the foundation stone, the cornerstone, and how people would reject him and some people would stumble over him. But those who believe on him and want to be connected in this building and do these things together, you will never be ashamed, ever. You don't have to ever be ashamed. And I think that's a really important key, because I don't know about you, but even as many things as I've done in my life, I tend to compare. And I think our culture just does that and go, well, I'm not like Trish. Oh my gosh, she has such a way with words and so beautiful and heart, her encouragement. And I look at that and go, well, I don't think I'm really like that. But truthfully, it don't have to be. I can be my living stone, and she can be hers, and all of us together then are fit together. So we do these spiritual sacrifices, but the other idea of going into the holy place, because in the holy place there was the showbread, there was the incense, and there was the menorah. And the incense were the prayers, and the incense was kept going day and night. And it calls the incense prayers. And that's another thing that we do in the temple. A primary thing we do is we pray together. And we lift up that prayer continuously like incense. And then the showbread was about God's presence, how he's the bread of life, given there's a lot of comparisons with that too, how you can eat him and become like him. The menorah was the oil that was filled with oil in each one of the little cups, and it was burning brightly all the time, and oil always represents the Holy Spirit. So as we live in the temple, there are so many things that we do. We walk by the Spirit, we praise God, we constant prayer, we worship God, we offer ourselves as sacrifices. Those are the things I've said so far. Now go on and read, jump down to verse 9, because I think this is so cool. "Now you are a chosen generation that serves as a priest for the kingdom." We serve as a priest, meaning we represent God to people who are not in the temple. "A holy people, a redeemed assembly, to declare
the God's approval that we can go down.
Called you from darkness to his excellent light." Okay, so we are a redeemed assembly to declare the praises of him who called you from darkness to his excellent light. So one of the main things we praise God for is, you called me out of darkness. You brought me into this light. You brought me into this beautiful temple. I can't even begin to try to put the words in there that would actually praise you for doing that. Verse 10, "And you who were previously not counted a people, but now are the people of God." there were even no mercies on you, but now mercies are poured out on you. Mercies are poured out on us. And we've seen that over and over and over, how no matter how frail we feel, and no matter how inadequate at various times and challenged by circumstances that are surrounding us, God says that it's part of His job to pour out mercies on us. I just love that. There's a couple other comparisons. I mean, you can go on and really extend this whole illustration of the temple. But one of the things I just wanted to mention, and Tricia brought it up earlier too, is that the temple is a place of edification. Even the word edification comes from being built, like you build a temple. In Ephesians, there's all those words about we're built up, we're built, the dwelling place, it's a building. But we've talked many, many, many times about how our words are what build up. When we are building up someone in love, then it's by words. It's by our actions too, but it's a lot is by words. And so part of our job in the temple and what we do as living stones is to build up one another. In other words, we edify one another. That's kind of an old term that's hard to understand, but once you see it in terms of a building, you go, oh, that's easy, I can do that. I can use my words not only in teaching but in my life to encourage and exhort and comfort and provide the things that other living stones in the building need. And the last thing is that in the Old Testament, God called the temple His sanctuary, as well as He called it a place of rest. And the temple is a place where we can lay our burdens down, where we come together in this community, where yes, we're worshiping God, yes, we're praising God, but also we come together to rest. That's in Psalms 132 and verse 13 and 14. Just wanted to close by reading this. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He chose the place where the temple was to be built. He has desired it for His habitation. His whole goal all the way along was that it would be His dwelling place. And this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. God's plan from the foundation of the world was this mystery that He held in His heart, where it was a secret. And He did not reveal it until after the day of Pentecost, where every single stone would have the fullness of Christ, would be bound together onto the foundation and take on the likeness of Jesus Christ and everything that He had. So this community of the temple is it's so beautiful. The illustration is so beautiful. And I could go on and on, really, about a lot of the things, like just coming into the presence of God and the Holy of Holies and a lot of things like that. But I think you get the idea, and I really wanted to just kind of set it out there for us to consider that it's a really beautiful way to describe how we are connected in community. We're the people of God. We're His dwelling place. We're a redeemed assembly where we offer spiritual sacrifices. And we fellowship and worship and praise God together. and nobody can separate that. And it's this gigantic building complex that is just growing and growing and growing, and we get to be a part of it. So that's what I wanted to share. God bless you.
Wow, thank you, Jan.